Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Tuesday, September 9th, 2014. With me today, I have John Martellaro and Kelly Gumont. And holy crap, do we have a lot of stuff to talk about.
Yeah, we're here. Let's hit it.
Yeah. Okay, so here's the deal. Apple's media event just wrapped up a few minutes ago. We took mere moments to catch our breath, and then I hit the record button so we could dive into all the news that came out of today's event. And I guess we can kind of hit this in sort of chronological-ish order.
And well, let's start at the top with six. Let's start with the fact that it's just after 12:30 Pacific time, and the event started at 10 a.m. Pacific time. So they were at this for very, very nearly 2.5 hours. So that's a lot of time to spend and a lot of stuff to talk about. Just so people know, because like when we used to get Apple keynotes, it was, you know, 90 minutes, like maybe 2 hours if there was like a whole ton of stuff, and this was 2.5.
I could tell they were going to get off to a fast start. It was when Tim Cook launched into the iPhone 6 really quickly. I mean, my notes start from square one. There's no dilly-dallying, no introductory stuff, no remarks about Apple and its success. It's like square one right away. iPhone 6 was introduced, pictures were shown, launched. And I knew it was going to be a very rich hour. I knew it was going to be a very rich 2 hours when he did that.
Yeah, but he walked out and said, like, I normally come out here and say a bunch of I don't even remember how he put it, but it was, I normally come out here and start with a bunch of boring crap, and we're skipping it now because I want to get right to it.
Did he say that? That must have been when the feed was halted for me, because we all had some initial problems with the video.
Yeah, let's start.
No, it went through the whole freaking thing.
Yeah, let's start with that.
My guess is that Apple's firing that company.
And then I'm sorry, that was Jeff Cheney's translator speaking over him as he talked.
Yeah,
to hear the stream.
40 minutes for us to stop hearing the translator, and about an hour for the video feed to settle down.
And initially, I was hearing
the video feed was crap the whole way through.
And initially, we heard two different translators. There was someone speaking, the woman speaking Chinese, and there was a second person speaking something I couldn't hear because I couldn't tell what it was between Tim Cook talking and the woman speaking Chinese.
Oh, that was Klingon.
Oh, okay. I figured.
It tends to throw people. Yeah.
Yeah, it was kind of confusing.
So what do you guys think of the iPhone 6 in terms of look and the design, the curvy edges and
I'm glad the curvy made a comeback. They're bringing curvy back.
Did he say Sapphire display while my video stream was stopped?
He did not. Ion glass.
Mm-hmm.
Really? So
yeah,
so it's not a glass we were expecting at all.
It sounds to me
like
Sapphire.
Sapphire stays where it was already, which is Touch ID and camera lens.
Wow. Yeah.
And the back is all metal.
I was really,
if I'm not mistaken, I don't
Tron bands.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
I was really looking forward to Sapphire. I wanted that so bad.
Well, there is a way you can get something with a Sapphire display. We're just not that far into the keynote yet.
That's right. That's called foreshadowing.
Yeah. So I'm going to be curious to, like I say every year when they make a new, every tick of the cycle, because the tick is the new version, and then you get the talk where they've refined the design. And this is a new design. So this is the revolution phone, or the tick of the TikTok product track, revolution of the revolution, evolution product track. Once again, we've got two sizes. They're both curvy. It appears, and I can't say this for sure because I didn't see the dimensions because my video stream was also still doing the shuffle at that point. It may have been the Super Bowl shuffle for all I know. It was very, very weird video clips I was getting. That's today's. Two people will understand this joke on TDO. It looks like the 6 will be the same size as the 5, and then the 6 Plus is the one that is supersized. That was my impression of them.
The 6 looked a little bit bigger than the 5, but not substantially bigger.
Okay.
And then the 6 Plus is definitely – it earned its plus size.
Yes.
And the naming is kind of clever because what we can do is easily transition to iPhone 6S and iPhone 6S Plus. So that'll work
That's
out
nice. True.
And I'd like to point out that that on every show where someone asks me about the iPhone 5L or 5 or 6L name, and I said, oh, that's crap. It's garbage. No, can't happen. I was right. So, people, I actually got one right.
So I do have the comparison just for people who wish to know. The 5S has a 4.87-inch screen. The new 6 is 5.44, and the 6 Plus is 6.22. So there's your – so almost an inch and a half larger than the current until yesterday screen size.
Interesting. How did we all get on the 4.75 bandwagon?
I don't think that's the size of the screen. No, it's not.
Okay. I thought you were.
I'm sorry. That's the dimension of the device.
Corner to corner on the device.
Okay. Yeah. So corner to corner, it's 4-inch on the 5S, 4.7 on the 6, and 5.5 on the 6 Plus.
Just as expected. Okay.
Yeah.
Excellent.
So I'm sorry, I didn't scroll down far enough. There's a page at apple.com/iPhone/compare where they put everything head-to-head, and you can see.
So which one are you going to get?
I'm not going to get one. I'm chained to my 5S for another year. Mr. Kelly may.
I will get a 4.7.
I'm thinking of 4.7 space gray this time around.
Weren't you a gold phone believer?
I was, but John? You missed the show where I confessed that I'm done with gold. Well, yeah, it was kind of we were all on the gold bandwagon. I know Dave Hamilton was. And
I wonder how many people still are now that they've had one for a while. I wonder how many people will continue.
There's a lot of people that will stick with it.
Yeah. I kind of like the dark colors.
I have a question for you guys.
Okay.
First, I'm with you on the dark colors. Second, NFC, that's in the new iPhones, only in the new iPhones. And we have features that tie into that. What do you guys think about Apple finally really doing NFC?
My stance is this. I'm still sort of pessimistic, although I have a feeling I shouldn't be. And the reason for that is, for me, it doesn't seem like that big a deal, only because, like, right now, the most common, the most repeat payment I have in the world, for the most part, is that I go to Starbucks a couple times a week, and I can pay them with my phone without NFC. They just hold up the scanner and scan my card, and I move on with my life. But I live in Portland, Oregon, and Portland, Oregon is full of nerds. Like, the first place to start using card swipers on iPads was here. And, you know, every food cart in town now has an iPad with a Square reader on it so that they can take payments from people for all of our awesome food off of carts and whatever. So right now, because I also recently, credit card breaches, which are another story altogether, in the last wave of credit card breaches, I now have a card that's chip and PIN, which seems like it would be awesome. And it would be awesome if there were any place on earth I could use the stupid thing. So far, in the 6-ish months I've had this card, there has been precisely one instance where I was able to actually use the chip portion of the card and not the magnetic stripe on the back. I have a feeling that NFC is going to be the same way for people who have an iPhone 6. And so by the time my contract is up and I'm able to get whatever iPhone 6 plus one ends up being, the 6S or the whatever, when I'm eligible for that upgrade, I think by this time next year, there will be enough places where that is a thing that it will be worth my time.
Yeah,
I think so.
I think the banks were kind of reluctant to roll out a whole new set of point-of-sale systems for smart cards and then come along later and have to roll out another whole new system that was the next-generation system. So I think maybe you're right, Kelly. It's there's some resistance to settling for the smart card systems when so many people have smartphones.
And I think part of that problem is that right now, you know, just like before, there was only it was hit and miss with Android on NFC, what phones could pay, what phones could not. So I have a hunch that this is sort of a chicken and egg problem. Like, nobody wants to do it for only one phone, and Apple isn't interested in doing it since, you know, wasn't interested in doing it previously because nobody had the technology to accept payments from such a device. So,
you know, we should probably tell people which feature we're talking about now, which is Apple Pay. It's a new thing that's part of iPhone 6 using NFC. So there you
go. And only now, iPhone 6.
You're caught up to speed on where we jumped. Yes, that surprised me. Only iPhone 6. So
new hardware. New hardware.
Yeah, because there's new innards. Yeah, there's new innards for it that integrate Touch ID.
And it's a secure storage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay, and that's important too. But the whole thing with it looked like Apple was going towards an iBeacon sort of system, and then all you'd need is Bluetooth, and now every phone can use a system. That's mm-hmm. not what we're going to have.
Or even iBeacon, which uses an iOS-flavored version of Bluetooth LE, so that anybody with a reasonably recent iPhone could have used it. That would have been really exciting for me. Because Bluetooth LE goes back to the 4 or the 4S, if I'm not mistaken. So that's a thing that anyone could have.
We were talking the other day, Kelly, about man-in-the-middle attacks and how mm-hmm. a payment system over Bluetooth LE from too great a distance would offer too much snooping opportunity. So maybe Apple changed its mind about secure payments. And Bluetooth LE and iBeacon is really more for, you know, local navigation, indoor navigation. And the range on NFC is so short that it's hard to intercept the signal.
Yeah, I believe it's measured in centimeters, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I heard 5 centimeters. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, somehow that's a number that's in my head as well.
Yeah, so we've talked about the iPhone 6 for a little bit. We need to hit the new thing, I almost called it iWatch, the Apple Watch.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
That's okay. When they debuted Apple TV, Steve called it iTV a couple times. So.
I knew I was going to want one even before they started talking about it. But what concerned me was this comment that Tim Cook made at the end. What do you guys remember? I remember him saying starting at $349. And mm-hmm. there's these new 3 versions of the iPhone. There's this, let's see, where was it? I'm looking at my notes. The iWatch Sport and the iWatch Edition. It's for 18 karat gold. I have a sneaking suspicion that the low level is $349. And it's going to get a little bit more painful as we get to that top level one with the sapphire and the 18 karat gold, maybe $899.
Oh, that seems extreme.
Yeah, it does. But that's why they have 3 versions.
Possible.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for people who just have to have one.
It'd so really my first thought when they showed it, that the because they showed, I guess, the high end, like a super glossy metal thing. And I was mm-hmm. like, that's ugly as crap. But I mean, seriously, I looked at it and I thought, that's not going on my wrist, period. But then when I got to see shots of the other models, then I was like, okay, now it doesn't look like pimp bling to me anymore. Now we're starting to find something that I'll look at. And
I was kind of thinking about something more futuristic, kind of. The case, yeah, you're right. This is kind of blocky.
I liked the ideas that people had, like that were more bracelety, fitness trackery, you know, sort of narrow and long and round. Instead of
that would have been cool too.
Instead of watchier, because that feels a little more future-y to me than strap a nano on my wrist.
Well, it's got to have that flat back to stay in contact with your skin, so it can sense your pulse. Yes.
Certainly.
Yes. Yeah. Okay, here's the other thing that bothered me. I'm looking at it. I'm like, okay, so they're showing this awesome interface, and it is so right-handed.
I know. There's not a left-handed person at Apple. Not one.
Around. I know. It's crazy. So I have to reach over the top and around the side to twist this little dial thing, and use the interface on the watch. That's going to be a problem for me. I mean, I'm looking at this watch and I'm thinking, oh my God, it does so many cool things and I really want this. And at the same time, I don't know if it's worth spending the money on it because it's going to be such a pain for me to use. And that makes me sad.
What do people who are left-handed do with regular watches that have a crown?
Well, you don't need them for stuff.
Yeah, the crown, you need it rarely if you need to set the watch. Sometimes it's for winding, and that's it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So,
twice a year.
So it's a pain, but it's not a major issue. For something like this where it's part of the navigation system, that's a big problem.
So we're going to find out about this because I'm sending that along to our man on the ground. And hopefully Dave will be able to get an answer about that from the hands-on area. So I've sent that to him. We will see what he has to say, because a goodly portion of the TMO staff is left-handed. And by that, I mean me and Jeff.
Right.
And
that's all
that really counts. A goodly portion. And that's our new band name. And that... I'm going to find that bothersome as well because it's navigation. I never minded it so much on previous watches because I usually don't have it on my arm when I'm trying to adjust the time. And that's usually what you need the crown for. And when I had a watch that required winding, when it needed winding, before I put it on, I would wind it and then I'd strap it on my arm and move on with my life. So it didn't really matter what side the crown was on, but in this case, it's going to matter. So,
well, yes, yeah, but what is the ratio? Is it 89% right hand, 11% left hand people?
Is it up to 11?
It doesn't matter.
I don't know. I'm trying to remember the statistic.
It doesn't matter.
Because I know a lot of left handed nerds. Product,
yeah, well, sure, and it's probably because of the circles we hang out in. It's the type of people that are more likely to be left handed anyhow. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't matter if it's 11% left-handed people or 30%, or it just doesn't matter. The fact of the matter is, if you're going to make a device that relies so heavily on an interface setup like that, and you don't make a version for a noticeable number of people in your population, mm-hmm. then you're cutting those people out from being able to use the device.
Yeah, but
plus, we have a podcast.
Tim said that they consulted oodles of horological experts and fashion people. And
well,
I've never seen a left
handed. That are left handed.
Yeah.
I know, but I don't know. Maybe they're just going to give that up, mark it up, move on.
Or maybe you can flip it over and it'll work upside down, which was what I asked specifically from Dave. So we'll see if there's an option for that. Because I know a lot of stuff on my iPhone will work if I'm holding my iPhone upside down, and lots of stuff on the iPad works if you hold it upside down. So maybe there's an option for the interface to do that.
Yeah,
that
after
would be
all,
very nice.
After all, iOS 8 has the landscape homepage now.
Yeah.
So yeah.
On the 6, so, we don't know. Don't know anything about it working on anything else, but the whole flip and sideways thing.
I bet you can invert that display for a lefty. I'm betting, now that I think of it, I think that's just something they didn't have time to show. Now that I think about it, it's almost certain to be in there.
Because remember, you could do that for the Nano. If you put two fingers on the screen and gave them a rotate, you could rotate the orientation of the display because if you clipped it on different stuff, it needed to be a different direction. So I'm hoping that that's a similar trick that we've got for the
watch. That's one of those things that Phil Schiller held back, like he held back the stereo on the iPhone 5 and people have jumped all over it. And he said, oh, no, it's stereo. Remember that? I think mm-hmm. that's going to be one of those
remember
things.
That.
Yeah.
So, okay, lots of fitness features in the Apple Watch, just like we expected. And and I'm really interested in seeing how all of that comes together. Like, I really, really want to love this watch, and I really want to try it out and put it through its paces for fitness tracking. So hopefully it does do a left-handed mode. That would make my life so much easier.
And it doesn't work without an iPhone. We all thought that maybe Apple would sell
an
iPhone.
That really surprised me.
Yeah. I guess they just decided, they sat down and they said, okay, the integration issue here is so strong that we just can't divorce it. So we'll just move forward.
That was really unfortunate. But there you go.
Yeah, I was bummed that there wasn't a, if nothing else, I can wear this instead of a fitness band and maybe sync it to iTunes occasionally. But
yeah, I was hoping.
I'm kind of bummed. While we're talking about syncing, though, the induction charging magnetic majigger on the back looks really cool.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, you just put it on your nightstand, and every night. My thinking there is that you just put it on the nightstand every night, and then you wear it every morning, and mm-hmm. so it's got
which
because
tells
it's
me
inductive,
no sleep tracking.
Oh.
Yeah, but that also means you won't have to charge it through the day. I mean, you'll get through a 16-hour day before you have to put
yeah,
it on.
But
the
it also means no sleep tracking.
Mm. Mm-hmm. I bet it can just tell when it's being charged.
That's a big feature for a lot of people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You won't be able to tell the cycles, but you'll be able to tell, like, you put it on to charge at this time and you took it off at this time. I liked the standing. I thought that was a cute trick. I mean, I know it's not really a trick because it is helpful, but the thing about how there's one of the goals that's sort of built into the fitness tracking on the watch is that you have to stand up for a minute every hour. I thought that was really cool.
That's actually really cool. And something that I should do more often.
I used to have an app running on my Mac called Time Out. It was a really neat app. And you could program it to kind of fade the screen out and tell you it was
and
time to take
screen.
Up a stretch. Yeah. And I finally got rid of it because I would go, oh, no, oh, no, I'm still writing. My thought, I can't stop this thought. I'm still writing. Stop, stop. So I had to get rid of it.
I totally understand.
I used that for a long time
great
too.
Idea, but yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay, we're like out of time, so
let's just say really quick, Apple gave you a new U2 album today, and that's pretty awesome.
Yes, yeah. The brand new U2 album available only on iTunes through October 13th, and it's free for everyone that's an iTunes store customer. It's it's waiting for you in your album purchases right now.
Yep.
Okay, so those are the big things. We got the iPhone 6 and 6 Plus. We got the Apple Watch, and you two did their album launch at Apple's event. And there you go. So it was a day full of lots of information. iOS 8 ships on September 17th. You can pre-order your iPhone 6 this Friday, the 12th, and they'll be in stores on the 19th. And
I think we're going to be writing.
Somebody.
I think we're going to be writing a lot for a long time because that was a rich presentation.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Not a lick about you. No Macs at all. Not just Yosemite. Nothing about Mac OS. Like, not a bit. Yeah.
But that was still an overwhelming amount of material to cover. We've got lots to write about for months.
Yes,
we do.
We're going to be wearing out our keyboards.
Yeah. That's what the white building is. It's for the macOS event that's coming.
Yeah. All right. So, we're totally out of time. Thank you for joining me, both of you. And I wish we could have had a deeper dive into all of this. But man, we just hit the ground running today. Yep. So check out Mac Observer. We have articles that are up already. We have more articles on the way. And thanks to both of you for joining me today. You guys rock.
So long, wizard.
So long, guru.